And so kids are running across the classroom like, Mr. Sam, I have to fart! And I'm like, get in the funnel! And...
You're listening to Spokespeople.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Elizabeth.
And this is Jean.
And we're part of the team that hosts the Spokespeople storytelling events.
This is the podcast of the true stories told live at our monthly storytelling shows in the San Francisco Bay Area.
The story you're about to hear, told by Sam Hayner, comes from our October 2014 show, Search and Research, at the House of Duke in Berkeley, California.
If you like farts and or poops, you're going to very much enjoy this story.
Yay, I'm going to love it then.
You're going to love it.
Was that a fart or a poop? I think that was a shark.
It's just sharting.
All right. Our next storyteller is Sam Hayner. Sam spends his days showing kids how to misuse power tools and how to make music videos. He is most afraid of the House of Prime Rib on Polk Street, doilies, and Lyme disease, in that order. Thank you, Sam.
So, I'm a teacher. Are there any educators in the house? So, that is so awesome that I'm humbled, and you guys will shortly see why I'm trying to become a part of your club and not quite there yet. So the title of this story is The Invention. Like most of my lesson plans, they start with Ellen, you know? The woman, the show, the prophet. I think we all know. And Ellen is actually excellent with children. And I watch this one and she, you know, she'll bend down and go like, all right. And her best segment that you'll see recurring is kid inventions. And she'll go, all right, what's your name and what did you invent? And then a little tiny child will come up and it's this one kid that you can look up. And he goes,
my name is Kyle and I'm 8 years old and I made a bed that flips over into a hot air hockey table.
And then he has this like unbelievable industrial, just like transformer. And then his parents are in the audience like, oh, I'm so proud. And I'm not usually one to yell at the television or a computer screen, but I look at that moment and I'm just like, listen, Kyle, it is not your fault. You're adorable and you have your whole life ahead of you. But let's be honest, both of your parents are industrial engineers. And not only is them passing off their work for that of an 8-year-old ethically questionable, but it is also potentially professionally compromising. So I think as most of the teachers know, I had the best part about teaching is having a captive audience of children who more or less have to do what you want them to do. So I wanted to see what kids really, really actually do invent. And so I teach in a place that does science. And particularly, I thought the perfect group would be this group of awesomely dynamic, hyper-intelligent, inventive 7-year-olds. So these 7-year-olds were coming, and normally I'm tripping over myself trying to haul volcanoes and baking sodas and welders over, and this day I just had a blank whiteboard and a couple pieces of paper. And so I said, all right, kids, today we're doing invention. You guys have all graduated to the level of, I guess, for whatever reason, me letting me do whatever you want. So let's do some inventing. So the first thing that I thought is that we should know about what problems these kids see in the world. What are the issues that we're going to try to address? Invention is begotten by necessity. So do you guys want to know what second graders thought the biggest world problems were in 2011?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to use notes. This is a picture of the whiteboard in no particular order. Number one. There are not enough homes for fairies. Number two, world hunger, excellent. Number three, not enough jobs in Ireland. Great job, Daniel, you've been listening to the news. Number four, too much violence. Number five, it's too cold, but only in some places. Number six, just the simple phrase, endangered howler monkeys. Another one, which I love, is not enough humor. And the last one is the fact that jetpacks are mostly for adults. Okay, so I was like, all right, guys, we need to apply the skills we have to the problems we see in the world, and that is what makes an ethical citizen. So let us begin. And so as a lot of educators, especially we children, know, there are two voices that every teacher of small children has. And the first one is the bulldog, which is as if you have an exclamation point after every word. You will put that chinchilla down right now! You know you cannot use a welder without adult supervision. But they also have what I call the rainbow sunshine voice, which is, oh, Chidozi, your invention's gonna be a jello jiggler, all right. Oh, Regina, you're gonna make a hat to put on adults' heads so they believe in fairies again, so they'll make homes for them. That's actually awesome, Regina, do that. You go around and you're just like, everything is lovely, and it's not faked, it's just harmonious. So you go around, and then I came up to this one drawing, which is not like the other children's drawings. And this is what I call the invention. It's a picture, well, really, it's a bunch of squiggly lines, but I had to ask him, Romeo. What'd you draw here? And so I'm going to describe it first. He tells me it's a person sleeping, and there's some tubage that goes below the bed, and there's kind of a punctuated dot. And he says it's titled, The Farting Poopinator. Here's a picture. And here's the farting poopinator. And I said, well, tell me about what you want the farting poopinator to do. And he goes, well, all right, so I'm sleeping. And while I'm sleeping, there's a machine working below my bed to suck out my farts and my poop such that I may contain them and in the morning fling them out at enemies. Excellent. Romeo. So when you hear something like that, you want to say to Romeo, listen, Romeo, I know that you sit alone on the playground. I know you sit alone on the playground. I've seen you sit alone on the playground. And you know, I know that also you're scared and you're vulnerable and you're embarrassed. And it's hard that your parents don't speak the same language as the other parents at school, but they moved here so that you could have a better life. I know, Romeo, that you are smaller than the other children, but I've seen your dad and you're gonna be huge someday. And Romeo, I know that it is so hard that you moved here mid-year, and it is hard because the other friends aren't open all the time, and they're not friendly with you. And I understand that you may feel like you have enemies. And I understand that Dan is actually probably your enemy. He's right there. But I am not sure that I can pass poop flinging when I have to defend myself in front of the Parent-Teacher Association. So we draw, and they write, and they draw the inventions that they want to build with the materials that we have in the Mission Science Workshop. So we are illustrating, we're writing, and we're talking about what elements, and we're iterating, and we're figuring out what we can do. And I'm still questionable on the farting poopinator. The others are going great. The Jello Jiggler is already in motion. There are phone protectors that are being made. The fairy hat by Regina is going excellently. She's harvesting delightful things like pipe cleaners from the background, from the back of the workshop to put into her hat. I'm not sure about the farting poopinator. So they leave that day and they walk out. And then on my way out, and I'm walking kind of out with them, and I wave goodbye to them as they walk back to their school, I see Daniel. And Daniel is pulling on Romeo's braids and saying that he looks like a girl, which I think is a great compliment. But Romeo's very hurt by it, and he's making fun of me, he's poking fun of him. And Dan's actually even smaller than Romeo. But when I see that, and I remember that invention, or necessity is the mother of invention, I say, if you feel like your life is so hard that you feel like you want to have your poop removed from your sphincter while you sleep so that you can fling them at Dan, then goddamn, we are going to make this invention. So next week they're coming back. It's Tuesday afternoon. I am ready. I got everything. I got supplies, but namely, I'm focused on Romeo. And I'm like, Romeo, we are going to make this farting poopinator. We got to know what's up. So first of all, you cannot have your poop loose when you're going to school. Everyone's going to smell it. You're going to get shut down by the principal as soon as you get there. We need to figure out how to vacuum seal. So we bake up a sample bit of brownies. And which will act as poop for the day. And the goal is to get them so vacuum sealed and so perfect that one cannot even smell them or smell their oddly and ironically deliciousness. So we work on vacuum sealing, and there's this invention there called the Kid Crusher, which he uses, which is like a vacuum cleaner, and we usually put a child in it with a trash bag. It sucks around them. Anyways, he figures that out and uses, we'll go back to that, no, sorry. Uses the same technology, and he figures out with this dustbuster and an amazing kind of array of Ziploc technologies that he can, in fact, do a pretty good job of vacuum sealing brownies slash poop. So he's vacuum sealed them. He starts building the catapult. There's a huge wood area in the back, and I, for the first time all year, don't have to correct his behavior in any way. Don't have to augment it, not really correct even, but I don't even have to guide him. He is just 100% focused on using surgical tubing and an amazing array of wood to create the largest catapult that I've ever seen. He's in the back. Meanwhile, the other things are going on. Regina is putting in the pipe cleaners to her fairy hat, getting it ready for adults. The jello is being jiggled. Everything good is happening. And at one point, he's finished the catapult all on his own, and he needs a lot of help, because he can't capture his own farts. How hard is that, you know? I mean, it's the problem of we have tried farting in the jars, but they just escape. And so we start for the first time, and the scientists in the room may know about kind of liquid displacement by gas. And so we try farting into funnels and having it go into a mason jar upside down filled with liquid to displace for 100% fart. Which is actually stinkier with second graders. And so kids are running across the classroom like, Mr. Sam, I have to fart! And like, get the funnel! And alas, their abdominal muscles are just too tiny to squeeze and really displace the water. So we actually find, or Romeo finds, that he uses the dustbuster once again, and you can get a pretty potent mix of even 1-6 fart-to-air ratio. When you suck in with a dustbuster. So the farting poopinator is near its completion. The year is actually almost over. It's May, it's late May, and I'm gonna have to send these kids away again. And so everybody's ready to take their invention home. The Jello Jiggler is complete. The hat is complete by Regina. God bless her soul, she's amazing. And Romeo, great job. You made the farting poopinator. And it's huge. He's carrying out the farting poopinator like this. And as celebration on the last day, I give them all awards. And one, the award for Romeo, I just made a super batch of brownies and to give him on his way out. And so they leave, and it feels calm and relaxing. And I've sent them on their way with their inventions. And then my boss runs in. And he goes, Sam, is that your class outside? And that's always a horrible sign. And they've already meandered around. I can hear their voices. They've already turned for Dolores Park. And when I run outside, I'm like, what's going on? I see already on the sign, just brownie, brownie. I'm like, oh my God, I've created a monster. Just unleash. I just imagine like Alfred Nobel when he invented dynamite, or Oppenheimer. He was just like, what have I done? And I just imagine poor Kyle on Ellen be like, and then it turns into air hockey. And just brownies all over the place. And so I trace their steps down to Dolores, and there, just over and over, brownie. And then as I get out into Dolores Park, I can see the scene of children running, Dan screaming. Their youth facilitator in bulldog mode, you won't get back here, Ragnar! And at the center of all the crazes, the launcher being pulled back and ready for aim by Regina. Wearing her hat to believe in something better, and Romeo standing next to her with his first elementary school friend. Aww.
If you like this story, please rate us on iTunes to help more people find our podcast. If you would like to tell your own story, come to our next show. Go to our website, spokespeople.org, for more information. That's spokespeople.org. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Podcast audio production by Gene Goldstein Plesser.
Hey, that's you.
Oh, yeah. Fancy that. By Gene Goldstein Plesser at the San Francisco Bureau of the Mangrove Institute for Higher Learning and Audio Technical Production. Podcast coordination by Sarah Bars. The event was hosted by Gene Goldstein Plesser.
You again.
Event coordination by Rebecca Stievater and event photography by Chris Koster. Music for this podcast was by First You Get the Sugar.
Thanks for listening.